This is Doug Miller. How would you like to take a look into the harem of a powerful Gentile king? Stick around. Let's talk about the Bible.
Communication. Of all God's creatures, man does it best, and he does it through the medium of language, both written and spoken. Dialogue is a program dedicated to the belief that God has communicated truthfully with the most intelligent of his earthly creatures, man. We therefore invite you to enter into dialogue as we discuss the principles, truths, and foundations of God's Word. Now here's your host, Dr. Doug Miller.
Thank you, Paul. That was Paul Sublett. This is Doug Miller, and the program is Dialogue. We are privileged to be back with you one more time with the book in hand to look into this wonderful story of Esther and God's preservation and protection of his earthly people. So bring your Bibles, come along, open up to the second chapter of Esther, call a friend, tell them to listen in too. Now, Dialogue is brought to you every week at this time by Dialogue Ministries Incorporated, a nonprofit organization that exists solely for the purpose of seeing this word go out, as far out as we can get it, to as many as we can get it out to. And to that end, we require the support of the Lord's people. And we beg you to pray for Dialogue. Write our names down on your list and bring us before the Lord, because without the prayers of the saints, I can get on here and make noise, but it will have no effect, I assure you. And the Lord needs to be glorified, and people need to learn of him and hear of him, and people need to be saved, and time is running out. And I am telling you that if you cannot see what I think I can see rather clearly, then I don't know. I'll pray for you. But it looks to me like things are getting very sad and sorry in this country of ours. We need help and direction. So pray for Dialogue and programs like it. We would love to hear from you as well. Always nice to get letters from our listeners. Know that you're there and answer any questions you have, give you any help that we can. Our mailing address, Dialogue, Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma 73083. If you didn't get that, keep your writing materials handy. Paul Sublett will give it to you again at the end of the broadcast. Now, if you would like to email, that's possible too. Our email address is Dialogue Ministries, all one word, all small letters, at sbcglobal.net. Dialogue Ministries at sbcglobal.net. We have a web page. You can pull that down. You can listen to the broadcasts and whatever else you wish to do. The web page is dialogueministries.org. Okay? All one word, all small letters. Dialogueministries.org. If you wish to call me and talk to me, the telephone number, area code 405-535-9089. That's 405-535-9089. And you will get a recording, and you leave a message, and I'll get back with you. All right, I believe all the preliminaries are out of the way. Let's take a look again at this marvelous book of Esther. What a wonderful testimony this is. Now, let me say something about this. The Jews have always, ever since their existence as a nation, Israel at least, have been at war with the Gentiles and people trying to stamp them out, people trying to do them in, get rid of them, etc., etc. It has never worked. It is never going to work. I want to make that real clear. We got a bunch of people in the Middle East today and a bunch in our own country, I'm sorry to have to tell you, that would like nothing more than to see the end of the nation of Israel. And let's make no mistake about this. It's very tempting to bury our heads in the sand and look the other way and say this isn't really happening, and this, you know, Patrick Henry in his famous call to arms speech at the House of Burgesses in Virginia. Mr. President, it is natural for men to indulge in illusions of hope. We are apt to shut our eyes against a painful truth and listen to the song of that siren till she transforms us into beasts. Well, that's exactly what I see going on today. Men, women, indulging in illusions of hope, looking at things as they exist and pretending that they do not. I want you to look at the nation of Israel today, and if you're Jewish in particular, you take a good close look. They are under the gun, but that's the bad news. Let me give you the good news. The good news is God will never allow Israel to be wiped out. It's not going to happen. And for all of you Jew-hating Gentiles out there, if I'm talking to any of you, you better get on the right side of things. You're on the wrong side of history. And you're on God's wrong side. Now let's take a look into the book of Esther and into the king's harem. Now the very word harem has bad, bad connotations for us. I don't know what it had for these people back here, but I cannot imagine that Mordecai, Esther's uncle, who had raised Esther, whose Jewish name, as I told you last time, was Hadassah, I cannot imagine that he liked the idea of this girl, who was like his daughter, being taken into the king's harem. There was nothing he could do about it. There was nothing he could do about it. I mean, he could, other than get himself killed, if that's... And there's no indication that he did anything about it or tried to stop it. Now, those of you who are listening to me right now, I want you to look at what happens here. I don't know what you are going through. I don't know the troubles that you are in. Some of you may be deeply grieved. You may be going through deep, deep waters. If you are saved, you may rest assured that God has your good in mind and in heart, and all things are working together for good for you. God's hand is upon you. His grace has not left you. It will never leave you. And he will bring this about for good, and you will see it one of these days. I can't tell you exactly how God's going to bring you through this trial, or how he's going to bring you out on the other side. I don't know how long it'll take you, but I do know this. He is grooming you. He is conforming you to the image of his blessed Son, that he, Christ Jesus, might be the firstborn among many brethren. Now, we have the Jews here. They have been carried away captive into Babylon. Very few of them ever came back. And yet, in captivity, God's hand is on them. They are still his people. He is still watching over them. And what he told Moses still goes. It went in the time of Esther. It is still good to this day. I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curse thee. Now, God, who is very much behind the scenes in the book of Esther, he's never mentioned, but we see his hand, is working to protect his people. Some very bad things lie, you know, are waiting for them. They don't know it because no more than I know it or you know. We don't know the future. We don't know what's going to happen. But God does know it, and he is already working behind the scenes. All right, let's see how he does it. The maiden pleased him. Pleased who? Well, pleased the keeper of the women in the king's house. Now, this no doubt was a eunuch. This is a man who, you know, I mean, most men could never even look inside the harem. If you looked in there and got caught at it, your head was coming off. But here we have this eunuch, no doubt, who was the keeper of the women. Here we have this maiden who pleased him. And she obtained kindness of him, and he speedily gave her her things for purification with such things as belonged to her and seven maidens, which were meet to be given her out of the king's house. And he preferred her and her maids unto the best place of the house of the women. So right away, Esther is chosen. She is taken. She's taken into the king's harem. And right away, she is the favorite of the keeper of the women. And she begins to obtain favor. Now, this is interesting when you look in verse 10. Esther had not showed her people nor her kindred, for Mordecai had charged her that she should not show it. So no one in here, as far as they know, she is just a beautiful woman. No one knows that she's a Jew. Mordecai had warned her not to do this, to just be quiet about it. And I can only assume that, you know, you had a lot of people back then, just as you have now, who hate Jews. Once again, if you are one of these, what can I do but pray for you? You're on the wrong side of everything. You need to get over this. But there were plenty of them back then. And Mordecai told her, warned her, do not let anyone know that you are Jewish. So here she is, a beautiful woman in the king's harem, one of God's chosen people, one of his elect, and no one in there knows it. They don't know that she's out of the captivity. Well, we also get Mordecai walking in verse 11 every day before the court of the women's house to know how Esther did and what should become of her. So, I mean, this is tender solicitude from a man who very much loves this, his niece, and who's concerned about her, obviously and naturally. He wants to know what's going to happen. Now, we have verse 12 here. Let's go right on into it. When every maid's turn was come to go into King Ahasuerus, after that she had been 12 months, according to the manner of the women, for so were the days of their purification accomplished, to wit, 6 months with oil of myrrh, 6 months with sweet odors, and with other things for the purifying of the women. Boy, this is interesting, isn't it? You didn't just come in and go into the king's chamber. No, it took purification. It took a whole year, a year of being taken care of and pampered and fed, you know, the proper foods and anointed with oils and so on and so forth, and having sweet odors put on you. And I am sure that there are types here and pictures, but I'm not gonna go off in that direction. I just want to look at the story as we have it before us here. And we have here in verse 13, then thus came every maiden unto the king. Whatsoever she desired was given her to go with her out of the house of the women unto the king's house. In the evening she went, and on the morrow she returned into the second house of the women to the custody of Shashgaz, the king's chamberlain, which kept the concubines. She came in unto the king no more, except the king delighted in her, and that she were called by name. All right. Once again, we hear this story. It seems very strange to us. We live in a different kind of culture. This is not the way we do things, but this is the way it was done then. Now notice, Esther starts off, as all of these women started off, in the house of the women. They were, when they were brought in here, once they're taken out to the king, they don't go back to the house of the women anymore. The women living in the house of the women were virgins. Once they come out from being with the king, they go into the actual harem, the house of the concubines. And what happened to them then? Well, that depended on how the king felt about them. If the king liked them, then they would go back to be with the king more. And if not, well, that was it. They dwelt there in the house of the concubines alone, with other women, for the rest of their lives. And they were shut up in there. It's a very sad sort of thing when you think about it. And, you know, if I were a woman and I were living back then, and I would run for my life if I heard that they are sending people out to look for women to be taken into the king. I cannot imagine a sadder life than the life these women led. And if I were Mordecai, I would do anything to keep my niece, my daughter, whatever, from being put in a situation like this. And this is the kind of situation which might cause someone to get down before the Lord and say, why? Why has this happened? What a dreadful, sad thing this is. Well, Esther, however, we've got here in verse 15, it's now Esther's turn. When the turn of Esther, the daughter of Abihail, the uncle of Mordecai, who had taken her for his daughter, was come to go in unto the king, she required nothing but what Haggai, the king's chamberlain, the keeper of the women, appointed. And Esther obtained favor in the sight of all them that looked up on her. Once again, at the risk of belaboring a point, she was undoubtedly an extremely attractive woman, and because all who looked at her. So Esther was taken unto the king, in verse 16, unto King Ahasuerus, into his house royal in the 10th month, which is the month Tebeth, in the 7th year of his reign. I love the exactness of God's word. We know exactly when she went in. We know the king's name, and we know that Esther was taken into him. Now, Esther, no doubt, had great trepidation. This has got to be a fearful thing, I would think. Certainly would be to me, I think to any of us, if we think about it. But the king loved Esther above all the women, and she obtained grace and favor in his sight more than all the virgins, so that he set the royal crown upon her head and made her queen instead of Vashti. Now the queen is dead. Long live the queen. The old queen has gone back into the house of concubines. She's not coming out anymore. She's not coming back to the king. We have got now a new queen, and it is Hadassah, the Jewish girl Hadassah, whose name to the Persians was Esther, a star, and she is now seated on the royal throne. Now, it's pretty heady stuff for just kind of a poor Jewish girl out of the captivity. She is now the queen over the entire realm. It's almost a Cinderella story, isn't it? Here she was. She was, you know, if you think about Cinderella, she is approached by her fairy godmother so she can go to the ball because Prince Charming is looking for a princess. And you know how the story went. Well, here we have a Cinderella story, but it is a true story. Absolutely true. And we now have our lady Esther. She is the queen. And we have here in verse 18, the king made a great feast unto all the princes and his servants, even Esther's feast. And he made a release to the provinces and gave gifts according to the state of the king. And when the virgins were gathered together the second time, then Mordecai sat in the king's gate. We have here now a great feast given for Esther. Once again, this is pretty heady stuff. I don't know. I've often, my wife used, someone gave her a little birthday card one time. And the birthday card said, I don't want to be queen of the world. I want to be princess of quite a lot. And I've always called her that. I have told young men before, you know, don't treat your wife like a queen. Treat her like a princess. I think women kind of like that. Whatever. I mean, here we have something that's beyond our wildest dreams. These sorts of things rarely happen. Here is a girl elevated almost overnight, as it were, in a year at least, from the lowest place to the highest place in the realm next to the king. And we have, therefore, Mordecai seated at the king's gate. Mordecai is going to profit from Esther's elevation as well. And we have, however, in verse 20, Esther had not yet showed her kindred nor her people as Mordecai had charged her, for Esther did the commandment of Mordecai like as when she was brought up with him. In those days, while Mordecai was in the king's gate, two of the king's chamberlains, Bigthan and Teresh, of those which kept the door, were wroth and sought to lay hand on the king Ahasuerus. And the thing was known to Mordecai, who told it unto Esther the queen, and Esther certified the king thereof in Mordecai's name. And when an inquisition was made of the matter, it was found out. Therefore, they were both hanged on a tree, and it was written in the book of the Chronicles before the king. Now, interesting story here. This story has many wrinkles to it, doesn't it? Esther is not only in the position of being queen, she is now in a position where she, along with her uncle, is able to save the king's life. Here are two men, these were assassins, no doubt, and Mordecai, who hears of this, is able to warn the king via Esther, and the king's life is saved. Now, once again, God knows exactly what he's doing. And this very incident here will come back later on to help the Lord's people, and the Lord's people will profit very much from this incident right here. And it's really kind of appended to the end of chapter 2, and very little is said about it after that. But it will come back later on. So what? We've come a long way. We now have Esther seated on the throne. How about that? This is Doug Miller, and this is Dialogue.
Dialogue, exploring and considering the revelation of the God who created the vast star fields and the simple starfish. Have we communicated with you? Then why not communicate with us? Write to Dialogue, Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. That's Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. Be with us next week for Dialogue.